From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined with our super producer, Paul Cape Cod Deckett. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. And that makes this Stuff They Don't Want You to Know a Wicked Had episode, I should say.
Pack the cat, have it yad.
Yes.
Wicked Had.
Yes, just so.
That's how you do it.
Only way.
We might run into a few of those accents in today's show. So, by the way, at the top of the show, go ahead and give us a call at 1-833-STD-WYTK as you listen along and let us hear your craziest Northeastern accent.
Yeah, I'd love to hear, especially if you're not from there.
Yeah, yeah, which we are not, by the way.
Chicken in the cow won't go. It's different, but similar.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. There's also the Pet Cemetery main accent. It's my favorite, you know. You bury your own.
Don't go into the road, Lois.
They said it was a nor'easter.
Sometimes dead is better.
It was a night just like this.
I'm just going to agree with you guys.
Come on, Matt. You got this.
I love it.
Give us one. You're not going to grace us with your golden voice?
It'll come organically.
All right. That's fine. You're right.
Okay. Why are we talking about Northeastern accents? Why are we talking about Massachusetts in particular? We're so glad you asked, because we are attempting to add a little bit of levity to what is going to be a story riddled with tragedy, lousy with disaster, replete and overflowing with untimely death. Today we are talking about the Kennedy family, one of the most influential political dynasties in recent U.S. history. They're on the level of the Roosevelts or the Tafts.
Yeah, they're the American political dynasty, mm-hmm. I would say, other than the Bushes, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
and maybe the Clintons.
And maybe the Clintons. The people would also often cite the years of the JFK presidency as the Camelot time, right? And they romanticize it.
Did you guys see there was a meme floating around? It was an image of Bill Clinton kind of peeking out from behind these bronze sculptures of George and Barbara Bush, and the caption was Clinton hiding in the bushes.
I have not seen that one.
Nope.
It's cute.
Well, according to some, despite their tremendous success in the world of PR, right, and public diplomacy, the Kennedy family has a dark side. That's also not a debate, but today's question is the Kennedy family cursed? I don't know if many people have heard about this. Matt, I think you brought this one to us originally, right?
Sure, yeah. Just because I'd heard of it, maybe. I'm not sure. We perhaps were discussing JFK in an episode, I think, and it came up, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, here are the facts. We've covered a lot of things related to the Kennedy family before, like you said, with JFK, RFK. We have that at least videos on that. We've also dove in, poor choice of words, to the Chappaquiddick incident.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Let's just keep it. Let's just keep it rolling.
No, come on, man. Own it.
And we had a fantastic interview with the writers of Chappaquiddick. But this stuff all comes into play. This is an overall look at these tragedies. But first, we have to learn about who the Kennedys are, which I don't think we've ever done on this show. The Kennedy family origin, and let's do their early timeline. Surprise, surprise, they come from Ireland.
Yeah.
In case they didn't already get that across.
Now, and this is just a shot in the dark here, but do you think early Kennedy influence stemmed from those political machines that raised up Irish immigrants to positions of prominence?
It's an interesting question, and I would say definitely, because you know, we hear a lot about Tammany Hall in New York, but Boston was not very different.
They had their own, I'm sure. Right. I don't know what it's called.
No, starting in Ireland, there's a guy named Brian Kennedy. As you could tell, this is close to his heart. And he says the origins of the family can be traced to a clan called, which I will mispronounce because I don't speak Gaelic. Oh, and you know, I went to Ireland recently. All the signs are in Gaelic and English.
Which is a script of its own, right? Almost like Cyrillic or like the Russian alphabet.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
You can. I was trying to learn Gaelic just while I was there to say cool phrases, but no one cared. Everyone spoke English. I saw one television channel I think was like a public education thing with these people speaking Gaelic that sounded really cool.
Oh, wow. Ah.
Interesting.
We've just been alerted by our super producer, Paul, that most people in Ireland do not, in fact, call it Gaelic. They call it
Irish.
Irish. Do you speak Irish? Well, that was a long intro to something that I am about to mispronounce. Their family clan was Osinniad Fionn, which was one of three clans that ruled a kingdom named Ormuzd. And they resided in what is today Picane, County Tipperary, in 1546, but they lost their social status in the new English order in the Kingdom of Ireland, and they had to move. They ended up in Dungannstown, New Ross, County Wexford by 1740, and that is where a fellow named Patrick Kennedy is born in 1823. Patrick Kane and Bridget Murphy are the first Kennedys to live in the U.S. Patrick worked as a cooper, which means he made barrels.
Nice. That's a good thing to make. You need a lot of those in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you're going to get into bootlegging down the line. Spoilers. They have five kids, Patrick and Bridget. And one of these, Patrick Joseph Kennedy, or PJ to his buddies, which for some reason I just love that as a nickname. He became a legitimate businessman.
Legitimate businessman.
Yeah, and served in the state legislature. This makes him the first Kennedy politician here in the States. He's also the paternal grandfather of President JFK, one of PJ's kids, a guy, and it gets confusing here.
So there's
Patrick Joseph Kennedy, and then he's got a kid named Joseph Patrick Kennedy. He's also known as Joe.
So there's PJ and Joe.
I don't know if they like
PJ got, and JP.
Yeah. I don't know if they got charged extra at the hospital for using new names and they just continually had to trade these out. But yeah, Joe was born in 1888 and he is the one who became instrumental in the family's political and financial rise. And he was kind of a shady cat.
Yeah, he was, let's say he was known to associate with certain elements of the underworld.
Elements, I'm sorry. Are you using hyperbole here?
No, like fluoride.
Barium.
Okay.
And also the mob.
Gangsters.
Okay. Yeah, the Irish, Italians, some of the, he had some friends in some places.
Well, and again, with the whole political machine thing, that was an early version of like the mob. Not an early version, but operated very similarly, getting collections and influencing votes and, state events.
Yeah, intimidating rival politicians even. So he is a character fraught with mystery and could be an episode of his own. Not the nicest man. He was a controversial figure in Boston because despite the fact that he made a ton of money through what he claims were legitimate means, in high society in Boston, money alone cannot pave your path to acceptance. It doesn't matter how much money you have. If you earned it in the last few generations, you're a peasant.
It's got to be old money.
Yeah.
Old money.
Mm-hmm. And he wanted to buy his way into this society to gain the acceptance. But it was tough because one of the big rumors about him, even though he always said he was a legitimate businessman – one of the big rumors about him for decades that persist even today is that he was intimately involved with bootlegging.
Yeah.
And
we can recommend a book called The Patriarch, The Remarkable Life and Turbulent Times of Joseph P. Kennedy, if you want to learn a lot more about him.
Right. And he went on to work as a U.S. ambassador to London, which started to gain him entrance into the upper echelons of the political class, and it's there that he continued to make some hard decisions. He got kind of house of cards with it, didn't he? But we'll get into that, his time over the pond, in a little bit. For now, maybe we can talk about some of the notable individuals of the Kennedy clan.
All right, first we have JFK, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, the 35th president of these fair United States. Then we have his brother Ted Kennedy, a senator from Massachusetts, and I believe, guys, one of the longest-standing senators in the history of the office.
Known as the Lion. of the Senate.
Ooh, the lion. Then we have Robert Bobby, right, Kennedy?
Yes.
Who is Attorney General and later a senator from New York.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And these are just the top three, right? We've got there's several other Kennedys that are influential in business and that are influential to one degree or another in politics. The family overall has amassed a cartoonishly large fortune at this point. It's estimated to be $500 million if we're talking net worth, but that's just what's on the books. And there's some pretty compelling evidence that, you know, when you're at that level, there's pretty compelling evidence that they have the means to not be entirely transparent.
So like offshore accounts?
Yeah, offshore accounts, maybe things that wouldn't be recognized in terms of assets or things that are, you know, properties in other countries where reporting laws are a little looser.
A little different.
Yeah, just like the accusations of the Bush family years back buying all that land in Paraguay, right? Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I do remember that one.
That one disappeared from the news, too.
Yeah. Isn't it weird when that happens? Mm-hmm. You got to wonder.
I know.
Are there machinations?
Yeah, does it mean they were just wrong?
Yeah.
Or what, you know? Because one thing that we don't see a lot of nowadays is any attention paid to retractions in the news, right? Because nobody came out and said, no, that never happened, the Paraguay thing. It just disappeared.
We just, like if we don't talk about it anymore, it never happened.
Like at the Pentagon where they say, we don't lie, the truth just changes. Yeah. No, that's a real, like say it.
It's on their letterhead.
It's real.
It's on their letterhead, yeah. So you'll probably notice, fellow conspiracy realist, that at this point we have not mentioned anything particularly tragic, just the story of one's family's rise to the political elite of the U.S. But what if there is more to this tale? Could the Kennedy family, in fact, be cursed?
We'll find out right after a quick word from our sponsor.
Here's where it gets crazy. So how did this curse begin, if it's a curse?
You just did two-handed quotation fingers. Like, raise writ large. But yeah, but it's hard to argue with the level of seeming cursedness that we're about to delve into.
There we go. Yeah, there's a guy named Edward Klein who is billed as a political researcher, and he says that he thinks this curse has haunted the Kennedy family for 150 years, but there's no one really agrees on what event started it or how a curse is defined.
Well, a curse is what happened when a witch wiggles her fingers at you and says, I curse thee.
Yeah.
It could be anybody if you know the evil eye,
that's
right?
That's true.
I'm doing the evil eye. Nobody can see it because we're on an
the
audio.
The witchy finger.
Yeah. I'm doing double evil eye.
Let's say, okay, let's put it this way. It's interesting that Klein puts it at 150 years because most everything seems to stem back to the offspring of Joe Kennedy, not the grandfather, but the father of Robert and JFK.
Yeah.
And a lot of times with a curse, the folklore of a curse, the history of curses, you curse a person in their bloodline, essentially, right?
Oh, yeah.
So descendants from that
I curse
forward.
Your name.
Well, I mean, yeah, a lot
your
of
house,
times.
A pox upon your house.
So it's interesting that they put 150 years because I wouldn't go back exactly that far. If I was the one saying, hey, this family looks cursed, I would probably put it on Joe rather than on Patrick Joseph Kennedy. Mm-hmm. Just because it's mostly his kids and their offspring that are really getting the bad end of the stick.
The fuzzy side of the lollipop.
Yeah.
As our old mentor used to say. Yeah. That's a really good point. So when we're talking about Joseph himself, let's go back to what he actually did across the pond that would later become controversial.
So we mentioned before that he became an ambassador to England while he is working in his political career. Then, you know, World War II happened. And in the run-up to World War II, as the Nazi Party begins taking over, there's a lot of debate in England as to, you know, how do we deal with this threat with these people that are threatening us. They're threatening all of our neighbors. They're doing unspeakable, horrible things. We're going to try and cut them off from a monetary perspective as much as we can, you know, by not buying and selling goods to them. Anyway, there are a lot of ideas that are floated around, and there are some people in high society in England who disagree completely. So we've got – on one side, you've got let's go through this, Ben. We've got Neville Chamberlain who – Nazi appeasement is what it's kind of referred to as.
Right.
But it's more of let's not necessarily give them everything they want, but let's try and work with them to a point where they're not going to bomb the absolute crap out of us. And just right. overthrow our government.
Yeah, the idea being that maybe not entirely capitulating, but giving a few things to Nazi Germany at the time would, I guess, stabilize the country or sort of mitigate the aggression and also put them on a footing where the Western powers were saying to Germany, we understand that you guys got pretty screwed after World War I.
Yeah, we're like, we see that you've got issues.
We're sorry that you feel like you need an apology.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Do you get a sense, though, this wasn't entirely with evil intent? I mean, it was, you know, it was one way of behaving to try to get things done, right? I mean, at the
time.
For sure.
It's a philosophy on how to handle a very tough situation.
Yes.
Because on the other end, when you've got military leaders who are saying, no, we absolutely have to fight them on the beaches. We got to fight them everywhere. Yeah. We got to say, no, you bastards, get back.
Can we play that quote?
You and Churchill?
Yeah. Play the – let's – Paul, can we play the Churchill quote?
We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
That really was Gary Oldman's finest role, his finest time. I mean, he deserved
his
everything.
Darkest hour.
Yeah. I remember when we had an ad read for that show, yeah. And we had to redo it because we said the darkest hour.
Yeah.
It was actually just darkest hour. And they made us redo the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. We hope you enjoyed that ad read, and it is a good film.
Yeah.
I'll give him that. I really think that guy's a great actor.
Mm-hmm.
But
as
much as I like Gary Oldman, one of my favorite historical figures at this point in time in the story is rip-roaring, drunk, toad-looking Winston Churchill. That guy was insane. He helped win World War II, and I don't know if he woke up remembering it most mornings.
Yeah.
Just, man.
No, you're right, man. He definitely seemed sauced. Almost any time he was on mic.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's like, what is it? Hemingway says, you're not really a man until you're drunk, being like you're not your best self.
Wow.
Not to encourage the listeners here to just live life drunk, but there's something to be said in that when you see these people that are just like so in the zone through utter drunkenness.
And it was
a thing to behold.
It was probably a, their state-dependent learning. They had normalized at that point, so they may not have been able – it's really sad to say they may not have been able to function.
Absolutely. Oh, same with those ad men, you know? Like,
oh, yeah.
Just the culture of like pitching these ideas while taking your 9 a.m. glass of whiskey, you know?
I mean, what kind of sassafras fancy boy is too good for a martini at 10, right? So Winston Churchill said, we have to go to war. Appeasement will not work. And, you know, his side was right. But that is not the side that Joe was on.
That's correct. And so a lot of people think that perhaps some – well, actually, let's just go into this. He was maligned. Like, he was viewed in a very negative light, especially in the United States after this came out, that he was – he was called a Nazi sympathizer.
He was on the wrong side of history.
Yeah, yeah. And again, like – it's tough to say back then, like, maybe he truly believed that this was a way to get out of it in a better way
right.
than just I mean, we're talking about scores of people, you know, British citizens who died as a result of the World War II and the Nazis. But at the time, it was just a terrible thing to do in the aftermath of World War II. And then he had political aspirations in the U.S.
Sure.
And ultimately, those were just dashed against the wall because everybody looked at him in that light.
Well, it's rough, too, considering the outcome. He definitely comes off as, like, taking the moral low ground. You know, when you really – knowing what we know or what you knew even just a little bit later, even, like, you know, toying with that notion was a bad look.
Yeah. They also had there are indications that he had personal prejudice involved as far as anti-Semitism.
Well,
there are. There are indications, and it is tough because a lot of it ends up being not rumor, but a little more hearsay than, you know, an actual thing you can prove.
There's correspondence between some of the Kennedy family from Kennedy and Joe Jr. in 1934, in which the son calls the Nazis dislike of Jewish people, quote, well-founded. Ooh. And the dad is saying, I'm very pleased and gratified at your observations of the German situation.
Jeez. Ouch. Okay, yeah. So that's worse than I understood.
So could that have been – how is that related to this curse?
Well, the thought is perhaps, you know, that's pre a lot of the cursing that's happening. I think 1944 is the first one that we've like clocked later on in our timeline as to the first part of the curse. So it would make sense if there was a curse applied around this time, like beginning to middle of World War II.
I see. And that kind of verges on a spiritual aspect.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, this is another theory that I've seen online, is that perhaps because of the way that Joe Kennedy amassed his fortune, you know, even though he says, oh, you know, I'm a businessman, just like his father sure. said, I'm a businessman.
Yeah.
Perhaps there was some ill-gotten gains there, maybe a family that was, you know, taken advantage of, or someone got hurt. So basically either we've got in some of the theories that have been put forth, either he's been cursed in some way because of his involvement with World War II and the Nazis, or with some other group that he wronged in amassing his fortune.
Okay.
That's what I have seen online.
I like that you say group. I like the idea of some real world interest pursuing someone. So you can already see some of the issues here, folks. There's no universally agreed on theory on what could have happened or triggered a curse. There are several compelling guesses. As you said, Matt, the most compelling timelines do seem to trace it to Joe Kennedy. Absolutely. But most use of the term curse just centers on describing this strange collection of tragic events that appear to bedevil this family much more so than the average Jane and John Doe Smith Nguyen of
Nguyen?
It's 2018. It's America, man.
That's a fun one. I never knew how to pronounce that until about 2016.
Yeah.
Is it hyphenated Smith Nguyen?
I don't know. I'm picking a generic average American family.
Someone it's crazy though, you guys. When you see these stacked up like in a list, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
Also remember, there are a lot of Kennedys.
That's true.
And associated Kennedys.
That's true. And times were volatile.
And there are people who are Kennedy adjacent, sort of the way like Redman is always hanging out with Wu-Tang, but is not himself in Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
What are some examples of the curses? I think, or examples of the curse itself.
Well, ultimately, there are a lot of deaths that we would consider to be untimely.
Sure.
Early deaths. Every death is earlier than it should be, right? Or airplane accidents. That's a whole category that we can kind of put in here because the Kennedys fly a lot. Some of the most affluent people do fly the most because you can afford it or perhaps you have your pilot's license. And in this case, the Kennedys did fly a whole lot. The first person who was killed in an aircraft accident was actually serving his country when he was killed. He was not a private pilot at the time. On August 12th, 1944, Joseph Kennedy Jr., this is the older brother of JFK, he was killed in an aircraft explosion when he was serving during the Second World War. So 1944, Joseph Kennedy Jr.
Okay, so then in 1948, May 13th, we have Kathleen Cavendish, who is JFK's sister and also the wife of the Marquis of Hartington.
Oh, yeah.
What is that?
Ah, yes, the Marquis of Hartington.
Is that like some kind of weird, Connecticut local government position?
Let's do a Google search, shouldn't we?
It's a landed title. In the UK,
okay. Oh, the UK, okay, of course.
So, what a lot of political dynasties do to get around what they sell to you as a voter, if you're in the US, what a lot of them do to get the aristocratic heights that they want is they marry into aristocratic families. So, when it's voting season, they can still put on a pair of bullshit overalls and a baseball cap and act like they have remotely anything to do with ordinary people.
Yeah, like a duke or an earl, perhaps.
The Duke of Earl?
Hey.
Sorry,
that's funny. Anyway, yeah. So we've got Kathleen Cavendish, the apparent husband to the Marquis of Hartington. She dies in a plane crash in France.
Yep.
And there's another plane crash in June 19th of 1964. Ted Kennedy is in this plane crash, and he and a senator named Birch Bob both survive with some pretty grisly injuries.
And the Reaper was gunning for this fellow.
One of Kennedy's aides dies in the crash, and the pilot of the plane also dies. I have a quick question with this. It seems like a ton of plane crashes, but to your earlier point, Matt, they were flying more than average. And also, I'm wondering if plane technology, if aviation safety technology was just not where it is now.
I'm certain that must be the case.
Well, and they're also in small private
chartered
planes.
Chartered small planes.
Yeah. I mean, there's just a higher risk with those aircraft.
No Kennedy. We'll fly commercial. Unheard of.
In 69, there is the infamous Chappaquiddick incident wherein Mary Jo Kopechne dies, is abandoned to drown by Ted Kennedy, who survives and somehow retains a political career, but that is commonly considered to be the nail in the coffin of his presidential ambitions.
Yeah. But and again,
I would say rightly so.
Yeah. But then you're right, somehow ended up being one of the most beloved senators out there. Somehow.
Soon we forget. So what else do we have? Because this isn't all of it yet, is it?
No. We're still going through all this. Okay. 1997, you have Michael L. Kennedy. He's one of Robert Kennedy's children. He dies in a skiing accident, of all things, out in Colorado. And apparently there was this Kennedy tradition of doing downhill skiing while playing American football.
Yeah.
So it's this weird thing where they would split up the – like if you're looking at the whole slope, they would split the slope up into varying fields. Mm. So like when you're in this section, you're in one field and you can score. Then you're in this section, you can score in this field, and it just kind of goes down, 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 down.
So what you're saying, Matt, is that he was asking for it.
No.
Ooh.
Jeez. No. No.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry, I misunderstood your meaning.
I will say that some onlookers who would view this Kennedy tradition of playing this game thought it was extremely dangerous.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It sounds stupid. It sounds really dumb.
Michael LeMoyne Kennedy, why are you doing this? That's his middle name.
Okay,
it's so much to live for.
Well, the strange thing is that you get rid of your poles because you need your hands to catch the football and to throw it.
Yeah.
And you're just going down these big slopes and you're looking behind you sometimes to throw the ball, looking ahead of you to throw the ball. And yeah, he unfortunately hit a tree and
39, right?
Yeah. Succumbed to his injuries that way.
39 years old. And then there's another aircraft incident, I believe.
Oh, yes. Yes. This is John F. Kennedy Jr.
Junior.
Yes.
That's what his parents probably called him. They probably just screamed Junior at him. Junior. Yeah. Junior, study wicked hard.
Yes. So John F. Kennedy's son, the Junior, he was on his way to Martha's Vineyard up there in Cape Cod, again, flying a light plane, a small plane, and he crashed after he got a little disoriented, I guess, while he was in flight. He was flying at night, which is, you know, a little dangerous because if your instruments go bad, it's pretty rough out there. He ended up crashing in the ocean and he died there.
Yes.
Seems like these Kennedys were risk takers.
some
true.
Of them.
True. There's more to the story, too, because yeah. this is just scratching the surface. I'm sure you can figure out what we're going to dive into next, but see if you're correct or not after this break. We have returned, and we must also acknowledge the most widely known untimely deaths in the Kennedy line. Those are the assassination of President John F. Kennedy on November 22nd, 1963, as he rides through Dallas, Texas.
Lee Harvey Oswald, who we later discover was his assassin, is gunned down at a police station 2 days later. And this created, as we on this show, in this community, very well know, widespread conspiracies about the president's death. You know, was there more than one shooter? Was he taken out by the government? I mean, it's too long to
even mob, list. The Russians.
It just goes on.
Yes, and his brother, Robert F. Kennedy, look, it doesn't matter if you consider yourself a fan of the Kennedys or not. They were super into nepotism, and nepotism is poisonous for the type of government that we are supposed to have. I just have to put that in there. I know that these people passed. I know these assassinations were unjust, but it's doing everyone a disservice if we ignore the fact that nepotism is a very, very bad thing.
You feel very strongly about this, Ben. You've mentioned it before on the
Absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I will continue mentioning it until somebody with a problem gets their brother or their cousin in office and shuts down our show, because it matters that much. I hope I'm not poking the bear too much here, guys. But regardless.
Yeah, the bear can take it.
I'm not saying that they're inherently bad. Robert
poke,
F.
Poke that bear, Ben.
Robert F. Kennedy is the attorney general. Right? So he's holding one of the highest offices in the land, legally speaking, while his brother is arguably holding one of the highest offices in the world.
This is weird.
That's weird.
No, this is the whole thing. Like, yeah, and then he gets a bullet too. He gets an assassin's bullet too.
Right.
And I mean, assassinations in U.S. politics, I don't see them as being wide rife.
They're relatively rare.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's 38 years old, and he is calling for further investigations into the JFK assassination because he believes there's more to the story. Like the majority of Americans in the wake of the JFK assassination, he thinks someone is lying. And on June 6th, 1968, he is assassinated after winning the California Democratic primary. The gunman, Sirhan Sirhan, is alive now as we record this.
Isn't this the one where he was supposedly some kind of Manchurian candidate?
Mm-hmm. He has at least maintained that he has no memory of this, that he was programmed somehow. And he also argues that forensic evidence and eyewitness reports of the shooting back up his story that he was not the fatal shooter.
It's fascinating if you start digging into it. I don't remember if we've done a huge thing on Sirhan Sirhan.
We did something.
I know we talked about it.
Yeah. It may have been like a hodgepodge kind of episode, mm-hmm. but I definitely remember talking about this sleeper agent kind of stuff.
Yeah, which is frightening. And the big question is, can you pull it off? I guess it's more a degree of compulsion. It's not can we make people do things they would not ordinarily do without their own knowledge of their actions. That's how advertising works. The question is, how far can we push it?
Well, can I take it just a quick aside in service of this story? Have you guys seen the latest Darren Brown special on Netflix?
Miracles. Yeah.
And guys, if you don't know who Darren Brown is, he is what is deemed a mentalist. He is an expert at everything from hypnosis to some more kind of sketchy pseudosciencey things he's accused of doing. There's a neurolinguistic programming, I think, is one of them. Mm-hmm. And he is a master of implanting ideas into his subjects' heads. And he is very good at picking out who will be most susceptible to said implanted ideas. Mm-hmm. And when you see him do his thing, it's hard to like poo-poo it. And it really does make me think, like what you were saying, Ben, how far could you push that if you weren't just a showman trying to make a cool Netflix special?
I have followed that guy for years.
Same.
I think longtime listeners have heard us mention some of his cooler tricks.
It's weird that all of a sudden, though, he's getting Netflix specials and he's been around for 20 years.
You think it's us, you guys?
Oh, I hope so. I'd like to think so.
But for our purposes, I think the Fantastic Voyagers, there's so many questions that remain about these assassinations. We got pretty cautiously optimistic earlier this year when some formerly classified statements about the JFK assassination were due to be released. But not much.
Yeah, not much came out of it.
There wasn't much in there.
A lot of black ink.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that old Onion article where the CIA says they found out they've been using black highlighters for the past few decades. So these are the two most popular ones, but there are other stories that get ignored. And we would be remiss if we did not point out a story, a tragedy in the Kennedy family that for decades was just not talked about, not just not talked about by the Kennedys themselves, but not talked about by their support staff, the various, I guess, people that they bound to obey them or however you would describe that relationship. And the press didn't talk about it either, and that is Rosemary Kennedy, who was one of the daughters of Rose Kennedy and daughter of Joe Kennedy. She was arguably intellectually disabled in a family with very high standards. And her father scheduled a lobotomy for her, of course, without her consent, a catastrophic operation that left her with the mental capacity of a toddler.
Well, yeah.
When she was 23.
This was 41 in 1941.
So this predates all the other stuff. So there's also some rumors out there that maybe again, you kind of got to go out on a limb for this stuff, but maybe somehow she's such taking revenge on her family.
Well, yeah, such a barbaric thing to do to someone. And, you know, it was just such a blind shot in the dark, you know, just nothing backing it up. What would they have said was a reason that this would be a good thing to do?
Well, by the way, she was assertive and she was rebellious as she was getting older.
Oh.
So, like, she was endangering the Kennedy name, essentially.
She had ideas.
Yeah.
Seriously.
So this and didn't perhaps have the sense of nuanced diplomacy and brand building that these folks were doing on their way to becoming your next American empire. So the way it was most likely sold was this will make her more amenable and docile. That's the way people handle lobotomies.
Oh, my God.
It'll help them be calm forever.
Yeah. Spoiler alert for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Like that time in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yep.
There you go.
Oh, man. That's such a great book.
By the way, that I think this is the best horror movie version of the Kennedy curse is that they do this horrible thing to their one child and it's kept a secret for so long.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
She's actually somehow taking revenge.
Especially the one child being somewhat precocious and willful, I guess.
Right.
And, you know, and then I'm going to shut you down. You didn't think I was good enough to be part of your, you know, family line? Well, here we go.
That's a very compelling.
Ooh, I'm getting shivers.
Yeah, that's a very compelling story that I have to ask you guys and everyone listening, do you all believe in something like karma? Do you think it's a possibility?
I don't know. I think it's a name we give for something very ephemeral and indescribable. Mm-hmm. I said to someone the other day, God is the name we give for improbable happenstance. You know what I mean? Where like things just line up in a certain way, things work out and you call it God or something. That's just how I see this very similarly. Yeah. It's the opposite though. Things align in a very horrible way over a long period of time. A dark coincidence, right?
I don't know if bad things happen to people who deserve them. I think often people who are not constrained by things like empathy or the human race being viewed as a team sport, I think they go around doing terrible things without foreseeable or predictable consequence.
That's because they just steamroller anyone that's in their way and they have no scruples.
Yeah, you hear that, kids? That's how you get ahead in life. You don't be nice. You become a steamroller, and then you hit go, and that's it. Done.
Until the good guys who do exist find you and stop you. It's just, I don't know.
Well, it's hard to stop a steamroller. The only way you can really stop a steamroller is if you got a hill. then you're good.
That's good, man. Or with a bigger steamroller.
There you go.
Yeah, like a giant Zamboni. I know they're not steamrollers.
It's all good.
I just wanted to say Zamboni. Have you seen? They are fantastic inventions.
Makes me think of a magician.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me Zamboni, right? That's the ice.
No, you got it. Yeah, you got it. I was thinking of the great Zamboni, you know?
So also, to be fair to the controversial figure of Joe Kennedy, it is completely possible that they legitimately thought this would help, that they wouldn't be crippling their daughter.
Yeah, when you have a doctor telling you this is, will help her.
It's a powerful thing.
No, I know. Even today, we take the doctor's word at face value, even with our, when it comes to our own health.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's so easy to just like, well, this mm-hmm. is – you're the expert.
Mm-hmm.
This company is paying me to tell you that this drug is awesome for what you got.
Did you see that thing where an artist put a giant sculpture of a heroin spoon outside of that company that makes all the opioids?
Whoa.
And he got arrested for like impeding a thoroughfare. It's like Dang. A really so funny ridiculous. Clause. What's the company's name? No, I can't remember.
It's not Bayer, is it?
No, hang on. It was the Purdue, the Purdue family pharmaceutical company.
Oh, okay, okay.
Ah.
So, not the chicken.
Not the chicken.
No.
Not okay. the not to malign the chicken Purdue's. They are unrelated to the opium Purdue's. But that, you know, what's a great point about that is there are a lot of people with the last name Kennedy who are not themselves related to these Kennedys.
Yes.
So we should point that out. We should also ask, is this a true curse or is this just a murky set of terrible, indefensible coincidences? Skeptics argue that what appears to be a curse is more likely just cherry picking. We're only finding notably tragic events from this huge family, and that it's also not improbable or even unlikely for a similar large family to have similar disasters regardless of their social standing. So if we just expand our sample size large enough from that Smith-Nguyen example or whatever, then we'll eventually be able to find someone who was in a plane crash, someone who got a very specific type of cancer.
It's the same even when you start tracing people's lineages and at the end of the day, everyone's related to everyone.
Right.
Yeah.
You get a long enough timeline, big enough sample size, stuff happens, right? But you guys, I'm just going to ask you, Matt, curses? Believe?
Do I believe in them?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, that's tough. Because if you don't believe in curses, you better believe you're getting cursed. But no, I don't really believe in curses, but that's just because I guess my life has been pretty good so far. So, you know?
Hmm.
Yeah?
What about you, Noel?
There's compelling stuff out there. I'm always a little bit of a fence sitter when it comes to this kind of stuff, but I don't know. Sometimes I feel pulled in one way or the other, depending on what I'm looking at. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I try not to have a hard, fast no to anything. I try to be open.
I thought you were going to say no to curses.
No, just in general, you know. Yeah, like sure. I'm definitely skeptical about a lot of things, but I am always open to being convinced otherwise. And when you look at this stuff just stacked up the way we looked at it, something's up.
Well,
I don't know.
Here's the deal. What do you think, Ben?
Oh, well, okay. So in full disclosure, I should say that various parts of my family do completely believe in this for various reasons that we will not get into. But Ted Kennedy himself seemed to believe that there was a curse afoot. He publicly mentioned the phrase in 1969 when he was testifying about that time that he abandoned and drowned Mary Jo Kopechne.
That curse that, you know, befell him as he escaped. And
yeah, it got to be really tough for him. To again,
back to his cushy job,
right? To again leave a woman in a car to die of asphyxiation, just for taking a ride with him. That's what he did. I'm not saying that he didn't do good legislation, but he also again abandoned someone, left him in a car to die.
Basically, got away with murder
and got away with it. Yeah. So let's just play the clip. You can hear him say it's a curse.
Whether some awful curse did actually hang over all the Kennedys, whether there was some justifiable reason for me to doubt what had happened and to delay my report,
And to your question, Noel, there's another factor here, and it's one that doesn't often get seriously considered in the mass media, because when we call something a curse, we're conjuring these images, right, of this nefarious warlock, a sorcerer, a witch, the evil eye, a pox on your house, and all this highly dramatic fictional stuff.
Grimoires.
Yeah. Grimoires, Eye of Newt, right? Secret arcane markings in the house where you can't see, right?
Written in blood.
Grandmas. You ever been cursed by a grandma?
Mm-hmm.
That's the worst kind of curse.
A grandmother curse?
Uh-huh.
The worst kind of curse in the first is the words of a grandmother, right? So.
Hold the horses. She's heading for the buckwheat. That's how my grandmother cursed.
But there can be something foul afoot that functions like a curse without it necessarily being supernatural. One example of this would be a blood feud. So if, for instance, and I will not use us as examples because I don't want to jinx us, right? That's just another version. That's like a low-level curse. I want to jinx us. So let's say—
That's when you curse yourself by accident.
Or whomever said, I hated that game when people— We say the same thing.
Same thing. Yeah. I was trying to do
that
it.
People say jinx.
It's a conspiracy by the Coca-Cola company to get you to buy other people Cokes. Just so you know that.
Oh, that's right. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, you owe me a Coke or something like that.
What?
Yeah.
That's the old-timey
version. That was a big
version.
Thing. Yeah, you have to buy a Coke
you
for
buy me a Coke, yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's a conspiracy, dude.
So there can be a vendetta in curse form that functions like a curse but doesn't have supernatural stuff. It just has a group of people who have agreed to carry out
actively.
Right.
Just tormenting members of another, like Hatfields and McCoys or something like that,
yeah.
Or, you know, poisonings, political assassinations, you know, crimes of that level too, right?
Right, exactly. Albanian blood feuds.
And when you're a big, giant political dynasty like the Kennedys, you're a target, man. You're a moving target.
That's exactly what I'm thinking, because the primary examples for people who believe there is a curse and something that operates like it would be the allegations of the assassination of RFK being related to his investigation of his brother's assassination. That for people who believe they are related, and I'm one, I rarely state my personal opinion on the show, but too much stuff adds up.
You really brought it full circle, Ben. That's really interesting. It's a really good point you make that this, you know, curse is another name for a phenomenon that you can't fully explain. But when you really start to look at this situation, it really starts to feel more like they just had a lot of enemies.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely had quite a few conflicts. I don't think you can get at that level without it. But whether you want to call it a curse, the result of being above the law for generations, or just plain bad luck, the Kennedy family remains beset by problems in the modern day. That is correct, folks. The tragedies did not stop after the assassinations. They did not stop with the stuff we mentioned. And the Kennedys are not always the victims in these situations. In 1973, August, Joseph P. Kennedy II crashed a Jeep, paralyzed his passenger. David Kennedy died of a drug overdose in Palm Beach in 1984 in April. And then William Kennedy Smith was arrested and charged with the rape of a young woman in the Palm Beach Kennedy estate in April of 1991. He has received numerous charges of sexual assault. This was the only one to go to court, and he was acquitted.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was sounding sarcastic if you couldn't tell.
If you're interested in that aspect of certain Kennedys, but if there's also rumors about a lot of the other male Kennedys having to do with sexual assault and rape and some of these things, most of these are allegations that cannot be proven, but you can go to the New York Post and you can read something by Maureen Callahan, and it's called The Real Curse of the Kennedys, and it deals a lot with some of these allegations.
Mm-hmm. And then we have the case of Michael Skakel, a nephew of Robert Kennedy's widow, Ethel Kennedy, who was convicted of bludgeoning his neighbor in 2002.
Wait. This is the first non-Kennedy name we've had in this sordid tale. Why is he a Skakel and not a Kennedy?
This is the red man to the Wu-Tang kind of situation
I
that
see.
We mentioned earlier. Both were 15 at the time. I feel like we talked – did we talk about this in the Chappaquiddick episode?
I don't think we have.
Oh. Well, he was accused of bludgeoning a girl named Martha Moxley to death with a golf club when they were both 15. There were some other kids that were there. He was granted a new trial in 2013 and freed on bail. 3 years later, prosecutors appealed. The court reinstated his conviction. He's asked them to reconsider. He's still on bail.
Jeez.
But
so that was 2002 when he was first like taken to court for
yeah.
that stuff?
That's when he was convicted, yeah.
Got you.
And he was convicted of doing that, but he was convicted in 2002, but the crime occurred in 1975.
Okay. And then we had those two in the 90s, by the way, the skiing accident mm-hmm. and then I think one car accident, or was that a plane crash?
Plane crash.
Plane crash.
Hard to keep them straight.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a lot.
That was 99, JFK Jr.'s plane crash. So two in the 90s then there after that, and then we get to 2012, May 16th. This is when Mary Richardson Kennedy was found she had committed suicide. She was found there on the estate in Bedford, New York. And that – remember that thing that we were talking about, the real curse of the Kennedys? It mm-hmm. surrounds that particular suicide, if you're interested, again, if you want to read more.
Well, okay.
And on this note, of course, as Matt said, every death is too soon. And so we hope that
except for Hitler.
Except for Hitler, sure. And so, of course, we hope that your family is not beset by problems like this. We also want to know, what do you think? Do you think there is a genuine curse, or is this just an agglomeration of coincidence framed in a specific way? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you do think it is a curse, why do you think it's happening? What's the core of it? The inciting incident, I guess? Because there's always one of those if there is a curse.
Mm-hmm. And I'm interested, if a Kennedy ran for president today, would you vote for them?
Mm. On principle, like just because it's a name is what we're asking you?
Yeah. Is there like name recognition? How much does that play into the story?
And we're just thinking about – it's because we're thinking about changing our names, honestly, to Kennedy so we can run for office. So
yeah. All three of us.
All four of us. Paul's in on this,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Full disclosure, we're all going to start flying small aircraft in Cape Cod. But, you know, we'll be careful.
And it has to be four of us so that we're not KKK.
Yep. Yikes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Just think of the memes. We got to have four.
But see, okay. Once one of us goes down, though, we're screwed.
Maybe we should each just get – take the name of a political dynasty.
Okay.
There could be a Roosevelt.
Roosevelt, Kennedy, Bush, Clinton.
Ooh. Who got stuck with Bush?
I'll be Bush.
That's good. That's all you need. See, I knew the Golden Pipes would rear their beautiful dulcet tones eventually.
And since we finally got some amazing Matt impressions there, that means we can
– Matt Libs.
There we go. That's worth it. We can now bid this episode adieu in peace, lay it to rest, and hope that tragedies do not continue in the Kennedy family, in your own family, heck, in any family.
Haven't they suffered enough?
Enough with the tragedies, world and fate and whoever else controls this kind of thing. Stop it. Just be nice.
But yeah, let us know. What do you think? It's a matter of karma? Is it coincidence? We want to hear your take. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, where we are Conspiracy Stuff Show, some variation thereof.
You can also find us on Facebook. And if you really want to go down a fun rabbit hole, you can join our Here's Where It Gets Crazy Facebook group, where you'll find things like this amazing poster of this upcoming movie starring Sam Elliott called The Man Who Killed Hitler. And then the Bigfoot.
Oh, really? Both?
Yeah, both. Starring Sam Elliott, Aidan Turner, Caitlin Fitzgerald, and Larry Miller, and our boy Ron Livingston. And at first people thought that it was a spoof, but it is a real picture, my friends, coming soon to a cinema near you.
Wow, okay. I'm going to go see that. Come watch that with me. If you're going to go, just give me a call. Let me know. We'll arrange a time.
What number can they call you at, Matt?
1-833-STD-WYTK. And if you don't want to do that, just email us.
We are
conspiracy@howstuffworks.com.